Once a man's home was his castle, only his foes would violate. And the border of his property was the moat round his estate. All these kingly rights of sovereignty, once bestowed on us by God, have been lost somewhere in history, in the fine print and the fraud. Once a man and his religion was protected by the law. In America, the Constitution formed a verbal wall. Now the law that used to separate is a law that's daily breached. Now the worried watchman on the wall is crying, heaven's under siege. Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government, but heaven's under siege. Heard the watchman sound a warning call back in 1992, when they murdered Vicky Weaver, just like they'll murder me or you. When they stormed the church in Waco, women and children burned alive. And now the ones who rot in prisons are the ones they let survive. Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. Now a voice cries in the wilderness as the Lord prepares his church. Will his called and chosen servants be found faithful on this earth? Will we pass the test of heaven's quest, never counting earthly loss? Will we fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross? Heaven's under siege, woe now, heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And when the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. I said corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. Under siege.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this 90-minute live radio broadcast. Today is the 17th day of January, year 2016. And we've entitled today's program, Babylon Falling, and hallelujah for that. Before we begin, we dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh, in ancient or paleo Hebrew. Notice I did not say Yiddish, the language of the imposters in Israel today. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, welcome to the program. For those of you who wish to help us financially, we certainly do appreciate the folks that do. And if you're thinking about that or being led to do that, please go to our website on the homepage. There's a button there that will allow you to help us out. And our website, of course, is byyahwehsdesign.com. Also, during the program, if you have a comment or question, or if you just want to give feedback at a later time to contact me, whatever, you can send your comments to this email address, which is BYD, Pastor Dan, and that's all together, at yahoo.com. I want to read a verse out of Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputes, that you may become blameless and harmless children of Yahweh, without defect, in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are seen as lights in the world, holding up the word of life, that I may have something to boast in the day of Yahshua, that I did not run in vain, nor labor in vain. Again, that's Philippians chapter 2. Notice it says here that we are to do all things without basically grumbling or moaning or complaining, so that we're found blameless and harmless, children of the Most High, without defect, meaning that you are a true representative of our Heavenly Father in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation. Take a look around you. Can it get any more crooked and perverse? I enjoyed listening to Andrew and Pastor Eli in the previous program as they talked about current events and pointed out so many things, and Carl Klang's song at the top of this program, Heaven Under Siege, or Heaven's People, meaning Yahweh's people, the white race. And people say, well, that sounds like you're a racist. Well, you can call it really whatever you want. Truth is truth. The only people who have represented Christ on this planet from day one are his sons and daughters, the tribes of the man called Jacob and later named Israel, the white race on this planet. That's just the way it is, folks. And if you don't want to study history, if you don't care about the truth, well, then you really need to tune in somewhere else, because that's all we care about here. What is the truth? So we got a lot of things happening right now in the world, as it was in the days of Noah. There's a lot of people saying, look here, look there, as if some government agency or some politician is going to save the day. Well, sorry. This has gone too far, too long, too deep. No institution, no man of flesh, and certainly no woman of flesh, is going to save the day. Sorry. The Jews, who are the sons and daughters of Satan himself, have done their work well. They have pretty much polluted and destroyed this entire planet. The international banking system, which they lord over and dominate, and all the things that it has touched upon, are polluted. It reminds me of the story of Midas and Midas's touch, where he could touch any base metal and turn it into gold. Well, the Jews are just the opposite, which is what Antichrist means. It means against, and they are against everything of Christ. Well, just like that, they are anti-Midas. Everything they touch takes gold and turns it into lead. Everything that was on this planet, every institution that made things better, they have destroyed. And part of the reason they've done that is because of their seducing the white people on this planet, the sons and daughters of Yahweh. So we are in very, very perilous times, as the scripture calls it, very perilous times. But now is the time that you hang on to the Father the tightest. You hang on to what you've studied for years. You hang on to the truths that are taught in scripture. And I'm talking about properly interpreted scripture, because many of the English translations are abysmal at best. The original Greek and Hebrew, not so. But please understand something. The original Hebrew and Aramaic texts are almost completely gone and have been gone for a very long time. That's why it is so important that the elders got together and created this Septuagint. The Septuagint is just the Greek for 70, because 70 elders got together and translated the original Hebrew into the current Koine Greek. And Koine just means common. So the Koine Greek of the day, they used to translate. So if you really want to get into what our ancestors and the prophets were trying to tell us, you need to understand Greek above all things, because the original Hebrew manuscripts are virtually non-existent. And that's why William and Mary College, which was a seminary, as were most of the universities in America in the beginning, seminaries. To get into William and Mary College as a freshman, you had to be able to read, write, speak, and debate in Koine Greek. Not Hebrew, Koine Greek, the common Greek or street Greek that was spoken in the days of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. I often wondered when I read that article that was talking about that, why would they want preachers in the 1600s in the colonies, why would you request that the preachers be able to speak, write, read, and debate in an ancient language like Greek? Well, years later, of course, when I was introduced to the identity message, and we need to stop calling it Christian identity because interlopers have come in amongst the sheep who are nothing more than troublemakers, and they use that term. So let us, the children of the Father, just refer to it as the identity message. So when I came into this truth, that little tidbit of knowledge made all the sense in the world. Very similar to Joseph's coat of many colors. For years and years, as a boy attending Methodist Church, I wondered what's the significance of that, and nobody in the church world ever talked about Joseph's coat of many colors. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange, because it was very important, because his brothers were jealous of Joseph because of this coat of many colors. And yet nowhere in all those years of attending the Judeo-Christian type churches did anybody ever even try to explain Joseph's coat to me. It was years and years later, after coming to know the identity message, that I went to a Renaissance fair. In fact, it was in the state of Michigan, where the largest gathering of Scottish bands, the Pipes and Drummers, it's the largest gathering of pipe and drummer bands in the world outside of Scotland itself, Alma, Michigan. So while I was there, I picked up some information on Celtic traditions, some of their mottos, like Daldus Incrementum for some of the clans, Daldus Incrementum, God gives the increase. The Scottish clans, and it also could apply to the Welsh clans and the Irish clans, they're all Celts or Gaelic. So while I'm reading this literature about the clans of Scotland, and I'm looking up my own family history, I picked up a book about Scottish tartans, or kilts. Some people refer to them as kilts, but the tartans that they wear, and the significance of the colors, and how as you went up in level of the hierarchy in biblical times and in later the Middle Ages, it was the number of colors in your tartan that signified your level within the hierarchy of the clan and of the village, let's say, how much power you had. So a commoner, let's say, he would have, his garment would be of one color. But a prince would have a coat or tartan of many colors. Sometimes six or seven different colors. And as I read that, I went, oh my God, there it is. There it is. Joseph had a coat of many colors. So this tradition of the colors of our garments goes clear back to biblical times. And the Gaelic people are the result of the migration of the Israelites many, many centuries ago. And they carried those traditions on into the Misty Isles. Now you know why the Bible refers to the Misty Isles, which is the United Kingdom, frequently. So those traditions are kept there. The pipes and the drums, the bagpipes and the drums come from biblical times. The pipes and the drums went before the armies of Israel when they fought Jacob Israel, our people. You know, it's funny, over the years, I would tell people about going to this Renaissance week-long or two-week-long fair, and how wonderful it was to stand there and listen to these magnificent bands compete with each other, pipes and drummers. There was also Celtic dancing, the dancing that was done by the men to keep themselves in shape and prepared for battle. And there were people I would tell this to, and they would go, oh my God, that stuff is noise. How can you listen to it? And that's when I realized that a true Israelite finds the bagpipes and the drums to be magnificent. The enemy and the other peoples find it to be noise. You see how Father separates us, the wheat from the tares? It's a beautiful thing. So I finally had a whole lot of questions answered simply by attending this Renaissance fair. I found out what our family motto was, our family tartan colors were, the crest or the badge that was worn upon the garment. It was phenomenal. I got to listen to this beautiful music, and I finally found out what Joseph's coat of many colors was all about. It meant that Joseph was going to be a great prince among his people, and his brothers were jealous. They weren't jealous of the fact he just got a coat, which is what the Sunday school teacher was trying to tell me. It had nothing to do with it. It had to do with the fact that he was being told that he was going to have great political power, great prestige, be a great Israelite. And he would lord over them because they were never going to get a coat of six or seven colors. Isn't it wonderful how Father reveals things to us? I find it amazing, absolutely amazing. If you seek the truth, folks, he will make sure that you get it. But you have to be seekers. See, that's what sets apart a true Israelite today and the people that will come through this storm versus those who will be consumed by the coming storm. Are you a true believer? And do you believe in the truth? Do you seek the truth with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, as the scripture says you should? Our title, Babylon Falling, is because that's my belief. I believe Babylon is beginning to crumble. The house of cards that it is built upon is failing. Just before showtime, I received some interesting news that the Dow is continuing to decline. There are multiple major corporations announcing vast numbers of store closings and layoffs. McDonald's, for instance, over 1,000 stores. Macy's, Walmart also. Signs of the times. They say profits are down, and they give all kinds of excuses, but to me, it's all part of Babylon falling. We're going to read some verses here in a minute that talk about the sudden demise of Babylon, and we're going to get into the Greek words that are used to describe it, much as we did on the last program when we covered the entire chapter 18 of Revelation. So there's a lot of signs. Pastor Eli and Andrew, and of course David talks about it, and Laura quite frequently as well. This massive immigration of the white nations, all being supported by treason within our governments. But is it really treason? Let's think about this for a minute. When your enemy does think to support your enemy's goals, it's not treason to them. They're doing the bidding of their father, Satan. Now they have usurped and interloped into positions of power within the white nations, but you have to understand something. They're doing the will of their father. It's our people that need to wake up. It's our people who are not doing the will of our father. You see, if we were, these quacks, charlatans, and treasonous government officials could not get away with what they're doing. We have to abandon this idea that we owe our enemy a courtesy, or, heaven forbid, our obedience, as they work to destroy our race? What kind of mental illness is that? That while these purveyors of injustice, murder, rape, and mayhem, where we feel we owe them any kind of courtesy, they are outright traitors, murderers to our government and to we the people, which is much more important than any government institution. Governments are formed by groups of men in order to bring civility and organization. It's the people, the nation. That's what the word nation means, a race of people. That is far more important than any organization of men called government, because government comes out of groups of men who form that government in order to streamline and economize their society. But when everything breaks down, it goes back to the base level, which is the people themselves and their natural resources provided by Yahweh our Father. Those are the things that count. Those are the things that make a nation rich. Not gold and silver or precious stones or the merchandise of the merchants sitting in the stores. Those are not a level of richness and of value, not in God's eyes. The people and the natural resources are what really make you rich. Satan's kids come up with all these trinkets and toys to enslave you and to make you think that we need them. I got news for you. We don't need them at all. You're going to find life is going to be so much better when Satan's kids are done away with. And hallelujah, that's not far away either. Not far away at all. So this migration, as Pastor Eli and Andrew talked about, is so prevalent in the white nations, and only in the white nations, because we're the target. Because Satan's kids aren't completely stupid. They understand that their only threat to their world domination will come from the white race, just as the black preacher in Harlem, James David Manning, tells his congregation. He's even praying for a white uprising in the United States because he understands that only if the whites take it back will it survive. He's telling his black congregations that, look, you've got it great here in this nation. You should be praying along with me that the whites will take it back because when it goes, we go with it. Hallelujah. Those with eyes to see and ears to hear understand that very simple concept. Now, the Jews do what they do because it's in their DNA. It's just like Lucifer himself. He opposed God the Father, Yahweh. In our minds, that's insane. Who in the heavens or on the earth could ever think that they could overpower and subdue the Creator himself? And yet Lucifer did. And he convinced a third of the angels to go along with his treason, just as the Jews convince other races to go along with their treason here on Terra Firma, Earth. Do you see how that works? Of course it's insane. And we, the sane people, have a hard time understanding why would people like the Jews be so destructive? Because when everything collapses, it's going to affect them as well. Well, because that's what they do. As Christ himself said in the book of John and in other places, they do the works of their father. He was a murderer, a liar from the beginning. And so are they. That's why we were warned about them. If you read the words of Christ in the original languages, and if you didn't have a prostitute up behind your pulpit who simply does what he does to make money, and he told you the truth, then you would study the scriptures for the truths that are in there, and you would learn that Christ warned us about these people. Christ was not a Jew. That's the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life. He detested the Jews. I dare anybody to tell me one place in the Bible Christ had anything good to say about the Pharisees, Sadducees, which are Jews. Where did he have anything to say good about the sons of daughters of Satan himself? Where? Where is it in there? Instead, he says to his kinsmen, the 12 tribes, "Beware ye the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware ye the works of Satan and his children." You see, your preacher is part of the problem. They are the whores, the prostitutes of the latter days. They, in effect, are what the Bible calls Baal priests. Remember the story about Ahab and Jezebel and the Baal priests and what they were doing? Eventually, the Israelites executed thousands of them at one point because Ahab and Jezebel were using the Baal priests to keep the people seduced into believing that Ahab and Jezebel had to be obeyed, even though they were not following God's law. Does that sound familiar? So when you go into one of these mainstream churches, these whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones, and that object comes up behind the pulpit, whether it be male or female, just remember you're looking at a Baal priest from thousands of years ago. They're doing the exact same job. Seduce the sheep into believing that their enemies have a right to rule over them, that their enemies really aren't there, and that they have no reason or they have no right to get involved. Baal priests, scum of the earth, doing the works of their masters, the Jews, and becoming twice the children of hell as the Jew himself is. That's why the Jews stay in the background in hiding, because they know they're the sons and daughters of Satan. They know they have but a limited time here. They know there is no hereafter for them. And they have a hard time hiding it when they're in face-to-face confrontations. I've gone up against Jews many times in my life, and they all exhibit the same things. They have a very hard time looking at an Israelite in the eyes. Why is that? For the same reason they had a hard time looking at the Christ in the eyes, because there is power. The eyes are the windows of the soul. There is a light that shines in the eyes of an Israelite, and they cannot stand that light. That light represents truth. That light represents honor and dignity in the name of Yahweh. It is like a poison to them. It is like fingernails being dragged across a blackboard to their ears to hear an Israelite speak. And that's why the Jew always, always proselytizes other races to do their work for them, so that they can stay hidden in the dark, in the recesses, doing their dirty deeds, making their nefarious plans, because they're going to go get some Shabbaz goy, stupid cattle, useless eaters, useful idiots. They have a lot of really, really nice terms for our people, don't they? Useful idiots, because they are idiots, and they're useful for a time. But please remember what Satan's kids do to the useful idiots once they obtain what they're looking for. They will throw you under the bus. So all you proselytized white people who are doing the work of your satanic Jewish masters, please understand your time is short too. Your masters are going to go down in flames. They will take you with them. They have no compassion. They care not what happens to humanity on this planet, in this protected dome. That's another thing, folks. You hear a lot of nonsense about stuff coming from outer space, comets, Planet X, Nibiru, UFOs, aliens, blah, 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 blah. I hate to tell you this, but there ain't nothing coming from without that isn't sent here by the Father. Do you understand what I'm telling you? That's all a diversion. It's nonsense. Because if it's not nonsense, we need to burn our Bibles and just give up this whole thing and remember that we're just a big pile of molecules. And when we're done, we go back to dirt and dust, and that's it. Think about it. If the Creator didn't protect this planet, then what's the purpose? We're not here by accident. You got to be an atheist to believe in that nonsense, that we're just sitting here on a ball, spinning in the middle of nowhere, at the mercy of electrons, radiation belts, comets and asteroids, and now alien beings. Do you remember Henry Kissinger's quote that we've talked about so many times? Men will become fearful and give up their rights and beg for world government to save them if we can convince them of an outside threat from beyond. Well, what greater beyond is there than outer space that we, the people, have no way of verifying? You don't have the money, time, or means to verify anything that's proclaimed to be coming from out there. It's more lies and propaganda. You're in an area that is protected by Yahweh himself. It's called the firmament. So when these misfits and liars are telling you to watch out for this or that up there, and I used to buy it. I'm not trying to say I'm perfect. And I'm not trying to step on toes. I was there at one time. Hell, if you go back far enough, I even believed in the rapture for a short period of time. No, I'm not perfect. But as you travel and learn and you start putting the pieces of the puzzle together, and I believe that's why Yahweh talked about the elders and the wise men or the graybeards back in antiquity. We were known as the graybeards. When you get to be this age, you've been through a lot. You've fallen prey to a lot of the miscommunications and deceptions. And you've had time to research things. You've had time to network with other believers and put the pieces together. And you begin to see where the lies and distortions and diversions come from. I'm here to tell you, folks, don't worry about what's out beyond. Why don't you worry about what's here on terra firma, on the earth, and happening around you? It isn't space aliens that are allowing the babies to be aborted in their mother's belly. It's not space aliens that are causing us to go endlessly into war after war after war with no end in sight so that Jew companies can make money. And the proselytes of our own race get handed a piece of that pie to keep their silence And you people know what I'm talking about, especially you government snoops that listen in. You know damn well what I'm talking about. So you're going to do the work of your masters, or are you going to wise up at some point? I know you're out there. In fact, I'm encouraged that you're listening in. I want you to listen in. I've wanted that for 16 years. You need to hear this message as much as my people need to hear it. You are condemned already for your acquiescence and your complicity in war crimes against humanity. And do you think you will never pay a price for this? Do you think that you can rape and murder and cause mayhem across the globe at the behest of your Jewish masters, whether they're in Washington or the Pentagon, and never be held accountable? Are you really that simple? Or are you really that greedy? Greedy for praise from your masters, even though they're devils. Greedy for money coming from your Jew masters, who unlawfully have gained control of the money system. But remember, Babylon falls in a very short period of time. In fact, let's read Luke 17. Being asked by the Pharisees, now you could substitute Jews here, being asked by the Pharisees when Yahweh's kingdom would come, he, being the Messiah, answered them, quote, Yahweh's kingdom does not come with observation. Neither will they say, look here or look there. For behold, God's kingdom is within you. He said to the disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, meaning one of the days when Yeshua walked with us, and you will not see it. They will tell you, look here or look there. Do not go away nor follow after them. For as the lightning, when it flashes out of the one part under the sky and shines to the other part under the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. That word genos in the Greek should be interpreted race, meaning his own kinsmen. He was rejected by his own kinsmen. And just as today our own kinsmen do the work of the Jew, even though it causes the murder and death of many of our own people, we have those that do it. And that same type of white turned against Yeshua, his own Messiah, in that day, and they're doing it ever since. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be also in the days of the Son of Man. That's verse 25 and 26. You got to remember that, folks. As it was in the days of Noah, they ate, they drank, they married. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. You see, you people that do the work of your masters, Satan's kids, you've got a dilemma. Because if they're right and we're wrong, you've got a really good thing going. Except that you're working for liars and deceivers. Now, you got to keep that in mind. And what they always do to those that help them attain power. But that's the best you've got, is that they're right, we're wrong, and that for a time, the Jew will allow you to have some power and money. When he's done with you, of course, he will execute you. That's the best you've got. Now, on the other side of the scale is your masters, Satan's kids, are wrong, and we are right. Now you lose in every direction. While you're here on this earth, you're doing the work of the most sinister group of people ever to appear in this Eretz or this land. You're working for them. to the detriment of all mankind for your blood money in your pocket or your sense of empowerment as you direct drones and other hardware against innocent people. And then when it's over, you have nothing except judgment and ultimate destruction. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes for all the tea in China. Because from where I'm sitting, your outlooks don't look all that good. So you can ridicule us and go along with your Jewish masters for a time. And it'll appear that you're successful. You'll have a nice house. You'll be promised a pension. Just remember, Babylon falls in a very short period of time. And you will be left naked before the courts of this world. And you will be judged not only in the hereafter, but in the here and now for your crimes against humanity. So just remember verse 27. They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage until the day. Now here it says Noah entered into the ship and he was a patriarch. But in modern times this will say until the day that Yahweh's people enter into their sanctuaries, and then judgment will come and destroy you all. Likewise, even as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But in the day that Lot went out of Sodom, in other words, when Yahweh's people leave this, quote, civilization, when we walk away from the corruption and the Babylonian system and we go to the mountains, as it says, that could be figurative, it could be literal. When we depart, it'll be as when Lot, the righteous man of Yahweh, left Sodom, and then the verse continues, it rained fire and sulfur from the sky and destroyed them all. It will be the same way in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who will be on the housetop and his goods in the house, let him not go down to take them away. In other words, don't delay. Don't worry about material possessions in that day. Get in your arks, whatever ark Yahweh provides, whatever form it takes. We talked a few weeks ago, well, I guess maybe it was even a couple months ago now, when elements within the United States government at the state level, but with the government in Washington's backing, certain governors ordered the taking down of the Confederate battle flag. And the media, of course, being Jew-controlled completely, started to try to make the Confederate battle flag a symbol of racism. Well, racism, if you go by the dictionary definition of the 1800s, is a good thing. And, of course, the battle flag would be a symbol of that because it promoted white interests. Because racism just means you care about your own race. There's nothing negative about that. The Jewish media has made it a negative term. Racism by every other race is absolutely okay, according to the Jewish media. But racism by whites, meaning promoting white interests, is somehow evil. Well, Satan's kids should say that. Why do we expect Jewish media to say anything other than that? We've got to get over this name-calling thing. Just as when I was a boy in grade school, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. We used to say that on the playground all the time because some bully or some quack would come up and constantly try to bully you into doing something that you would get in trouble for by calling you names like wussy and coward. And that's when we would just say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Yeah, Satan's kids, you control the media and you call us names, but you know what? I don't really care what you call me. The truth is the truth. You can't stand the truth, and I understand why that is, but your names are never going to hurt me. But when they tear your flag down and in the same week tell you that you have to accept a perversion as gross as homosexuality, and I don't care how much Satan's kids try to tell you that it's an acceptable lifestyle. No, it's not. There is nothing acceptable about it. It's an aberration of nature and society, and it most certainly is an aberration of God's law. So when Satan's kids tell you that it's okay and you have to accept it and then rip down one of your major cultural symbols, it's their way of telling you you're defeated already. Because you didn't rise up in mass with arms and arrest their sorry asses. So effectively, the white race in the United States has been conquered. It is a conquered people. Another sign of the times, is it not? When the white race won't even defend itself, won't even protect their women from rape, won't even protect their own kind from noxious vaccinations being put into their bodies by Jewish chemical and pharmaceutical companies. Lord knows what's going into those things, and you wonder why so many people are sick. We spend more money on healthcare than any nation on the planet. We got the sickest people. Absolutely sick. But not everybody. Hallelujah. The people that believe in naturopathy, the people who believe in homeopathics, the people who believe in buying from their local farmers and ranchers to get organic food that has not been adulterated by the major corporations and their food processing plants, their health is doing okay. The remnant will survive. If you go the way of Babylon, your days are over. Now, we hear a lot of rumblings that there are elements who are organizing to arrest people in Washington, D.C., both the government and at the Pentagon. There's treason in both areas, high treason. I don't know if that's true or not. I believe it's going to happen, though. At some point, Yahweh's law will come to pass. And he says, the wicked shall be gathered up, the tares will be gathered up for the burning, meaning the destruction, the execution that they deserve. Hallelujah. Isn't that a wonderful thing? At least in my book it is. We often talk about a military coup. Well, a lot of people don't even understand what military coup. Coup is a French word. It means a blow. Like coup d'etat is French for a blow to the state or a state action against the state, coup d'etat. Coup de grâce is a blow of grace, meaning an execution done without causing excessive harm or pain or suffering. Coup de grâce. Again, it's French because in the old days, French was the language of politics. English has become that in the modern era, but back hundreds of years ago, all world politics, at least in the white nations of the world, was done in the French language. A lot of people don't understand that. As far as the Second Amendment, of course, our enemies are trying to convince us that we should lay down our arms and that we don't have the right to defend ourselves. Well, let me tell you something. Not only does the Constitution, the federal Constitution, confirm that I have a right to keep and bear arms, the state constitutions are even more explicit. But even without a state or federal constitution, my Heavenly Father gave me the right to defend myself, and I plan on doing just that. So if you come against me or mine with the intent to do harm or do things that you're out of your jurisdiction to do, you are my mortal enemy. Remember the words of John Locke, one of the philosophers that was often quoted by the founding fathers. John Locke is the one that said that any man or group of men trying to disarm you is your mortal enemy. Now, do you understand what mortal enemy means? It means an enemy unto death, an enemy who is out to kill you and your family. Now, John Locke lived in the 1600s, and he had a lot to do with the thought processes of our founding fathers. A very brilliant man, as the people in England should be able to tell you. But John Locke put it very succinctly in a very short phrase. Any man or group of men trying to disarm you, that man or group of men are your mortal enemies. Please don't ever forget that, folks. No matter what kind of rhetoric, no matter how much nonsense the Jew puts on the tube, never surrender your means of self-defense, ever. The whole reason for the Second Amendment was that the militia, meaning the people, were to be armed every bit as well as the army, because as a last line of defense against tyranny was the people themselves in the form of the militia. And that's the purpose of the Second Amendment. And that is why when it says arms, it's not talking about pistols and rifles. It's talking about whatever the military has, we have a right to it. That's exactly what it means. And it's exactly for that that it makes common sense. If you're worried about tyranny, why would you want to go up against people with M4s and rocket launchers with a .38 special revolver? Doesn't even make sense. But through the years, we've allowed the interlopers and deceivers to convince us that only the military is trained in the proper use and has a legitimate purpose to have all those tanks and armored vehicles and machine guns and rocket launchers and now drones and all the rest. Whereas we, the people, no, you're limited to just a small magazine and a pistol and a semi-automatic rifle at best. That's all you deserve. But we're going to hang on to the Abrams tanks and the flamethrowers and the nuclear devices and the hand grenades and the bazookas and rocket launchers and the drones. Yeah, we're going to hang on to that because we're the good guys. We're never going to hurt you. Can you hear Satan speaking Nakash in the Hebrew language? Ancient Hebrew, our language? Nakash. That hissing sound of the snake. The two-legged snake, the deceiver, the enchanter, whispering in your ear through the electronic media, go to sleep, little sheep. We're here. We're the good guys. We would never harm you. Go ask the people down in Waco, Texas. If you could, of course, those men, women, and little children, 17 little children burned alive in Waco by the very people telling you, disarm. We're the good guys. Ask Randy Weaver and his family when they were put upon by men with no insignia on their uniform, no announcement that they were there marching through the woods on their cabin way up in the hinder part of Idaho. Six men with full automatic weapons against a family with just the husband, a wife, and their little children. Oh, and the family dog, but they made sure they killed it too. They killed the dog and then took a Jeep and ran over the dog over 20 times back and forth to grind that poor dog into the dirt as a way of showing their defiance against Randy Weaver's family. A family up in the mountains, away from everybody. That's what your government that's telling you to lay down your weapons. That's the kind of things they do. The same government is telling you to be at rest and peace, don't worry about us, brought down the Murrah building in Oklahoma City, killing over 300 babies in that Holocaust as well, killing the federal judge that had filed a lawsuit against the activities that were going on in the Murrah building, claiming that it was unsafe. Isn't it interesting? The federal judge was part of the the group of victims in that massacre. Of course, the federal agents that normally go to work that day didn't show up for some reason. But that's just a coincidence. Just like the Israelis in the Twin Towers in New York. The day that they came down, they didn't show up for work either. But I'm sure that's a coincidence as well. The media doesn't tell you about that? You mean they don't keep repeating it over and over and over again like they do so much other garbage that's on the media, whether it's radio, television, or print? They don't repeat the fact that it was Israelis that were filming the buildings as they came down and having a party on the rooftops? They don't keep telling you about that? Or that 200 Israeli agents were rounded up by FBI and CIA, etc. in this country? I think it was FBI. 200 of them were arrested, but they ended up going back to Israel. It's a lie. Israel. Well, why is it they were picked up, and why did they get to go? Oh, that's right. Jews control the intelligence agencies. Oh, my goodness. It just dawned on me. No, I'm not being truthful there. I had that figured out within weeks of 9/11. And not because I'm so smart, but because I have friends, military retirees as friends, and they told me it was a military operation. And it wasn't really very hard to figure out the Israelis had something to do with it, because I read my Bible. Unlike most Judeo-Christians, I actually read it, and I study it, so that it can warn me of people on earth that are my enemies. You see, I don't believe the garbage that everything with two legs is my friend or my brother. The Greek word for brother is adelphos, and it literally means from the womb or from the same womb. It's a racial term. It means the only people who are brothers to me carry my DNA. The only brothers to me carry both my DNA and faith in Yahweh and to live according to his law. That's my brother. Now, according to the book of Matthew, are there other races out there that deserve a blessing? Well, last time I checked the Bible, Abraham and his children were to be a blessing to all nations. Well, that means all people. We don't discriminate. We're willing to be blessings to everybody, but you have to obey God's law. If you are communists, if you're murderers or rapists, if you're defilers of the earth, you're not my brother, and you're not part of that group that Abraham is to be a blessing to. Instead, you're that group that we are to be enemies to. You're that group that Jeremiah referred to, that we are his battle axe and weapons of war, and with you I will destroy nations and peoples and bring down wicked government. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Revelation 18, now we talked at length about that here not long ago, but in verse 10 it says here, in 1 hour your judgment comes. Talk about you, Babylon. Mystery Babylon comes from the Hebrew word which means confusion. In fact, if you look at it in a good dictionary, it'll tell you confusion caused by mixture or admixture, meaning mixing things that don't belong together. Confusion. If you go to the Greek, it's mia ora. Isn't that interesting? In the Spanish language, even to this day, they use the same word for hour. Ora. Comes right from the Greek. They say it's a Latin language. No, it's not. Because Latin comes from Greek, and Greek comes from Hebrew. So mia ora, 1 hour. But that word ora in the Greek language doesn't just mean hour. It can mean day, hour, instant, season, moment. It's basically saying in a moment or a short period of time, not necessarily 1 hour. You see, the Bible makes so much more sense when you translate it correctly. In a moment, your judgment comes. In a short period of time, your judgment comes. Then we skip down to verse 21 of chapter 18. And it says, with violence shall Babylon be thrown down, and it shall be no more. Can you see those days coming? The signs of that happening and that coming are starting to show up everywhere. I just saw, I was given an article by Dr. Mercola, a very, very good man whose website has contained natural remedies and homeopathics and all that stuff for many years. A lot of good articles by Dr. Mercola. He recently exposes the Rothschilds, Bilderbergers, and others of that ilk and their complicity and involvement in modern pharmakia and what it's doing to our people and their attempts to limit our access to the natural world. Now, he doesn't come out and say Jew, but anybody that's ever done any experiment or research knows the Rothschilds are Jews. That's what the Rothschild means, red shield. It was the red sign in their banking houses in old Germany. Rothschild, red shield, red banner, red sign outside their stores. Red. Where do we read about red? Oh, Edom Esau, red. Oh, what are the communists called? Oh, reds. Everything associated with demons and death and destruction is referred to as red. Geez, even in the Bible days it was that way. And now it is still to this day. Open your eyes, people. Jesus, criminy. Wake the hell up. Now, if you have all your apples and all your eggs in one basket, financially speaking, you could be in trouble. You could be in trouble, especially if you put all your eggs in the Federal Reserve note basket. A lot of people are starting to realize that. Again, as it was in the days of Noah, people, what do we take from that? As it was in the days of Noah. Well, things were pretty ugly back then too, just as they are here today. And if you don't know that things are ugly in this world today, you have to be sound asleep. Which if you are, you need to tune in somewhere else and just don't even listen to anything we have to talk about. Because as Christ himself said, you are condemned already. You're condemned to suffer horrible disease. You're condemned to have your wealth stripped from you. You're condemned to lose your business. You're condemned to lose your family because of your willful ignorance. Or as Joe Cortina would say, criminal ignorance. Because you choose to be ignorant. The truth is here. It's being presented to you. Eurofolk Radio, as far as I'm concerned, is a bastion in this world of lies and deception. It's a bastion of truth and honesty. Now, we're not claiming to be perfect, all of us that are here. No. You know, because you're supposed to have a part to play too, folks. It isn't that Eli or David or Paul or Andrew or Chris or Pastor Martins that we're supposed to do all the thinking for you, that you have no work to do on your own. No, it's the watchman's job to present the fact that there is a problem to you. It is to give a warning to you. It is to pass on to you what we have been taught through life experience and study of the Word and through the Holy Spirit. We are commanded to give you that information. You, however, have to verify it. You have to put it to use in your own life. So don't be looking at us as if we're supposed to drive the bus. We're only supposed to tell you the day is coming when you need to be looking for your ark, your escape, if you want to call it that, or your sanctuary. Wherever and however the Father does it for you as an individual is between you and Yahweh God himself. I don't think Eli or Paul or Andrew or any of us, David, Laura, I don't think any of us have been given a vision of exactly what everybody's ark is going to look like. There has to be a reason for that. My personal opinion is that the ark could take many different forms. Depends on who you are, where you are, and what your circumstances are. Father is multifaceted. It isn't like the days of Noah in the sense that it's only eight people we're talking about. We could be talking about 8 million or 80 million or 800 million. I don't know. And when you're talking about sanctuary for that many people, it's obvious that it could take many different forms. We're supposed to have enough smarts to figure it out. Have faith in the Father, folks. Have faith. The good news that I see is that the white race is waking up. I've seen a lot of evidence. Dr. Mercola is only one instance. I was also given information here not too long ago that in the battle about GMO labeling, which is genetically modified organisms, GMO food is Frankenfood. That's what some people refer to it as. It's atrocious. I talked to a beekeeper when I was working in Mississippi that lost $10,000 worth of his inventory, meaning of his bees and beehives, due to the fact that the farmer next to his beehives was growing GMO corn. See, there's a price to pay when you follow Satan's kids' advice. I have my own family members who've been doing no-till farming for a long time now. Why? Because the local ag department at the university told them that that's the way to do it now. That's the smart way. That's how you make more money. Well, the same thing goes with GMO. The world is waking up to the fact that GMO food isn't food at all. It's filler. It's look-alike food. Oh, it has the appearance of food. It has the texture of food. The label might even tell you that it is food, except where it says it's GMO. That's why Monsanto and so many of these other huge Jewish corporate farms have been battling to remove the requirement to say that their produce is GMO. But so far, the world is battling back. Overseas, they have banned GMO foods for some time now. We Americans seem to be the last ones to wake up. We have more electronics, and we have more avenues to the truth than any nation on the earth, and yet our people are woefully ignorant. Or as Joe says, criminally ignorant. Because it is a crime when you have access to the truth and you don't have enough gumption to figure it out. That's criminal in his opinion. And I have to agree with him. It is criminal. Your family, you're feeding your family GMO food? You're feeding your family high fructose corn syrup? You're feeding your family MSG or monosodium glutamate? And you wonder why they're sick, they're overweight, lethargic? Oh, please, people. Monsanto, I heard, is closing down a $90 million corn facility, GMO, of course, because of low profits, and that there will also be 3,600 jobs eliminated here shortly. Well, Monsanto, good riddance to you. Same thing I hear that McDonald's is in trouble. Oh, McDonald's, probably the bottom of the barrel of fast food companies. Putting stuff up there that looks like food and is so far from it, it's unbelievable. You know, many years ago, I did a program with my brother, literal brother. And we did a program about how do we, the people, have power? Because in the world today, it seems like we're powerless. But are we really? Are we powerless? No, as a matter of fact, we're not. We have tremendous power. For instance, and we discussed this on the air, the enemy, want you to think that all your power is at the ballot box, when in reality, that is the least amount of power you have. That is the least significant way for you to yield power in this system. The very least. Your power is in the jury box. Yeah, I know. mainstream media wants you to think of that as a useless chore and to stay away from it, because they understand that when they rig the jury, they can change all kinds of law. They can put all kinds of innocent people in jail. They can steal all kinds of businesses and bank accounts with a rigged jury. So they don't want you anywhere near that jury box where you actually have tremendous power. They don't want you to think about the power of the purse, your spending habits. There's tremendous power in what you invest your money in, what retail outlets that you will frequent and buy your produce and your goods at. You have a lot of power. And what you spend your time at, your time, your money, and your vote on the jury box are the three most powerful things that you have. And we're talking outside of our faith in our Father. We're talking about everybody, no matter what your faith, no matter what your belief system, power that we people have. That's why if you really read the scriptures for what they're trying to tell you, they're trying to tell you how to be a man or a woman of integrity, of good character. Why? Because people with integrity and good character aren't going to spend their money on junk. They're not going to spend money on idiotic professional sports tickets so you can go watch the misfits go out there and do what they do on the field. I'm sorry. I grew up with sports. I played football. I played baseball. I played tennis and golf. I played ping pong. I play basketball. I love sports because it's good for the body. But professional sports, whenever money becomes involved, it's a joke. People of integrity are careful about buying stuff made in China versus being made in your own home country. You see what I'm saying? You're not the kind of people that go, well, I can save 10 cents if I buy it made in Sri Lanka versus made over here in the neighboring state at a factory employing my brothers and sisters in America. A person of integrity would say it's worth 10 cents. It's worth the extra dollar to keep the business here at home, in spite of what your traders in Washington have done to make it easier on companies moving out of the country. How insane is that? Your own government enacts laws and uses your taxpayer dollars to make it beneficial for a company to leave our own country. That's treason, people. That's financial treason. At the very least, whoever sponsored that bill and signed on to it should be in jail, at the very least. It's up to a tribunal, of course, and a jury of true peers, meaning white men of the Christian faith, of the Bible faith. They may decide that you need to be executed. Your treason was that bad. But treason it is. Financial treason. Because you're empowering our enemies to build up their infrastructure, to build up their navies, their marines, their armies, while taking the means of doing that for ourselves away. That is treason. So when the military finally decides to do their God-given duty in this country and arrest these bastards, part of what they need to do is set up committees to investigate all of these kinds of acts. They need to go and investigate who sponsored that bill. Then they need to find out who voted in favor of that bill, and then arrest them as well. And that bill is not the only bill, but every bill that runs counter to the best interests of the people of this nation should be investigated, and the perpetrators rounded up. Our military is going to be busy, aren't they? And they're probably going to need help. So those of you of the militia, stand by. Those of you who are true patriots, stand by. Because if the military ever does decide to do their God-given duty to protect we the people from the communists, the misfits, the perverts that have risen to the top in this nation, they may need help. And by God, they're going to get it. That being said, of course, any military operation that is ungodly or has an ulterior motive that runs counter to the best interests of this nation and its people, those particular military men need to be on their guard, because you're no different than the people that I've been talking about for the past hour. So we the people should be, at this point in time, in a standby, wait and see, keep an eye on the situation mode. Because we're not really sure who's telling the truth anymore. The lies and deceptions are everywhere. We're going to sit back and wait for our Father to identify the wheat and the tares. But we're going to be keeping our eyes wide open. We're going to be keeping our weapons of war close by. We know who our enemies are, and we know what their intentions are. And by God, we have no intention of allowing them to achieve that without our armed resistance. So all you misfits, all you workers of iniquity, you have been warned. You have been warned. We know what your propaganda is all about. We know who initiates it, who directs it. I found it funny when Pastor Eli and Andrew exposed the fact that Gloria Steinem of the feminist movement was CIA. You know, we're finding that the CIA's fingers are on a lot of the deception and misdeeds going back clear into the 1920s and 30s. When Alan Dulles and his brother John Foster Dulles created the CIA. I've read the book entitled The Brothers, and it's the story of Alan Dulles and John Foster Dulles. And I found it to be a most interesting book because these two men were scoundrels. And yet we named an airport after John Foster Dulles right there outside Washington, D.C. These two men were base men. They weren't men of integrity and high character. They worked for law firms. And I'd be willing to put $1,000 on the fact these law firms were headed up by Jews. In fact, John Foster and Alan Dulles may be Jews themselves, for all I know. Their behavior certainly acts like it. They had no problem using their position of power within the U.S. government to have foreign country leaders assassinated, blackmailed, usurped by aiding and abetting their adversaries, just so that the law firms that they came from and other wealthy individuals could keep their money and their power. It started way back then, folks. You see the dirty fingers of the CIA on a lot of things. And then you find out that our intelligence agencies typically are headed up by Jews. Often. And I'll bet the CIA is the worst of it, all the way back to John and Alan Dulles and the other misfits that helped start that organization. And yet the average American thinks the CIA is here for our benefit and that they're here for some good to you and I. Nothing could be further from the truth. Not when they're involved in that sort of nonsense. And you find out CIA leadership and CIA money made men like Saddam Hussein. As long as Saddam was killing the people our CIA wanted him to, he was a great guy. And then later on, the Jewish bankers came in and said, oh, no, wait a minute. Saddam is starting to do things for the benefit of the Iraqi people. We can't have that. So the same CIA controlling our media set about to demonize him. And you always know why they do that. They demonize somebody that they intend to kill so that when they do murder, and I did use the word murder, when they murder the individual, you'll go back to sleep safe in your bed at night going, oh, he was a bad guy because the CIA and the whores in the media told me he was a bad guy. You simpletons. Oh, my gosh. You know, if people only knew what it's going to be like when you stand in front of a righteous Father and you have to give an accounting for your stupidity, your ignorance, your willful ignorance. I myself can't fathom that. I can't fathom a person walking this earth and breathing this air that thinks that they can get away with this stuff forever, that thinks that you can commit these heinous crimes and you'll never be held accountable for it. The truth is coming out in so many ways and in so many places, it's just astounding to me. Praise Yahweh for the avenues of truth that he's made available to we the people. Not only we the people of the United States, but the people of the world. Praise Yahweh for that, folks. Because if you had to rely on the news media, it'd be all over. Because those whores couldn't tell the truth if you put a gun to their head. I do ask for a blessing on those that are starting to blow the whistle, though, because their numbers are swelling, and they'll continue to gain more whistleblowers as time goes on, because some of these people actually do have a conscience. I know a lot of them don't, but some of them do, and they're having trouble sleeping at night. Some of them even have bowel problems because their tension and their guilt is settling into their bowels, and now they're having bowel issues. You see, stress will do that to you, folks. The stress of knowing you're doing the work of the Antichrist, that you're hiding the truth, that you're doing the work of the CIA and other agencies such as Mossad and all the rest of them. Well, Mossad and ISIS are the same thing, by the way. And that's out of the mouth of Jews. So whenever you see ISIS and you're supposed to think Arab, no. Israeli Mossad, Israeli intelligence, Israeli secret service, whatever you want to call it. But that's who they are. The world is a far different place than you're led to believe by the fairy tales in the mainstream media. It's time to wake up, folks. Babylon is falling, and you're not supposed to go down with it. That's the desire of our Heavenly Father. He said, come out of her, my beloved. Do you understand that term? My beloved. Come out of her, that you do not partake of her plagues, that you do not partake of what I'm getting ready to do to her for her iniquity and crimes. My beloved, come out of her. And I know a lot of people say, well, it's very difficult to come out of this system. I understand that, people. But there are ways to come out of it as Father presents them to you. As he opens doors that allow you to come out of this system, take them. Pray for those doors to be opened unto you, and he will open them. Scripture is replete of verses that says that he's a loving father. He's not going to give you a stone when you ask for a fish for food. That's just a biblical way of saying when his sons and daughters are crying for help, he's not going to turn around and give you a bag full of useless rocks. He's going to send help your way. Don't take it for granted, but also don't be so forlorn as if to have no faith in him. That time's almost over. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for Eurofolk Radio and the folks that built it and continue to run it. Bless them and keep them safe. Have these words reach out to those that have the ears to hear and the eyes to see, Father Yahweh, that they may be part of that remnant that comes up out of that valley of dead and dry bones and becomes a vast and a mighty army, as Ezekiel told us. Forgive us our sins and our stumblings, Father. Be with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for thy kingdom, as we ask these things in the name of Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, the great I Am. Hallelujah.